And now, it's Steve Rosenblum.
We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
And Mike Esposito.
There was only one night game a year. On the 4th of July, the whole sky would brighten up with fireworks, giving us just enough light for a game. We played our best then, because I guess we all felt like the big leaguers under the lights of some great stadium.
On 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
America! America! Make God thy gold refined. Till all success be nobleness and ever again divine. And
you know what? Well, happy 4th of July to you. Welcome in to The Score. Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito. Not Mullion Haugh.
Close, but not quite.
Sitting in for Mullion Haugh. We're here. We're here from 7 o'clock till 11. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have a listener line. We have a number. You can listen. You can call. You can text 312-644-6767. Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1968.
1868. Even longer.
Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. That is the Score's listener line. We have a jam-packed show today for the 4th of July. Explosive. Boom.
I gotcha.
Fireworks all over
the place.
Look
at you go.
At 8 o'clock, Bruce Levine, Score baseball guru, will be here to talk Sox and Cubs. At 9 o'clock, Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times will be here to talk about Connor Bedard. So, yes, we'll have the Pope talking about hockey Jesus.
And
at 10 o'clock, my friend Bobby Pastrami will be here. You might know him as Bob Schwartz. You might know him as the guy who wrote the book, Never Put Ketchup on a Hot Dog. He's also the guy heading up the Hot Dog Hall of Fame. That is a thing. They've inducted many, many hot dog joints in Chicago.
I love hot dogs.
And Bob does it on behalf of Vienna Hot Dogs. And at 10:40, Mark Grody, we will do transition. And Mark Grody will take you up to the Cubs game today. And let me note that today the Cubs continue their series against the Brewers. Pre-game begins at 2:35 with first pitch at 3:10 on the Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. Also, did you know you can hear Cubs games on your smart speaker? Just tell your device to play 670 The Score.
I do that all the time. It's delightful.
There you go. And you're right here. So the Cubs.
Tough one yesterday.
Ooh. Okay. So the Cubs choked a 6-0 lead against the evil, dreaded Brewers, an alleged rival, even though they have more fans in the stands for Brewers home games
in Milwaukee, yes,
than the Brewers do. So we're dealing with that. They have a 6, and Drew Smyly couldn't get 4 innings. He has trouble going 4 innings these days. He gave up 3 runs. He walked 3 guys and thought he pitched okay. Really?
No.
You know, you need a monitor. You need a mirror. You need a monitor. You need some kind of pitching DVD, Drew.
We commented during his last start in the Phillies series. I happened to be working in the booth that day. Pat was off. I was doing pre and post. Zach and Coomer doing the game. And Smyly had a rough start, and he threw, I want to say, 88 pitches. Don't quote me on that. It was close to 90. In the near-perfect game earlier this season, you remember that one when Yan Gomes collided with him and kind of ruined his perfect game that he had going?
Boom.
Yes. He only threw 86 pitches in that game in its entirety. And then in the game last week against Philly, he threw the same amount of pitches in 3 2/3 innings of work. And yesterday, he threw 73 pitches in 3 2/3 innings of work.
Okay, so just to clarify, not a good thing. The Cubs were up 6-0 in what David Ross had indicated was, yeah, we've kind of earmarked this. It's a must-win series. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't say must-win, and apparently it turned out to be a must-choke series. Cough, cough, choke, choke. The big market franchise is a joke. So here's something that kind of puts some perspective on it.
Okay.
The Brewers have two. This is from ESPN Stats Info. They tweeted this out. The Brewers have two wins against the Cubs when trailing by six runs over the last five seasons. So twice,
mm-hmm.
the Cubs have blown leads of at least six runs
mm-hmm.
to the Brewers. Against every other team in every other game in every other situation, the Brewers are 0-75. This is what the Cubs do in what's supposed to be a rivalry. So the Cubs are now 38-45. They've lost three straight, seven of their last eight. They won the game in London. Can we send them back there? They're seven games out behind the Brewers and Reds. The Reds, how do the Reds get these good guys to come up and play? And the Brewers, they just keep being better than the Cubs.
I will say this. The old Jared Young call-up has looked pretty good. I mean, he was 0-4 yesterday, but I have...
Not an Ellie De La Cruz.
He's not Ellie De La Cruz. No, that's true. And Matt Mervis, I'm sure he's working hard, did not work out in his first go-around. We'll see how that works the next time he comes up. But no, it's actually this Cubs team has seesawed up and down all season. They start hot, then they go very cold, then they get hot again. And unfortunately for them, the timing of London was they were hot, their hottest of the season, right before they go there. They won the first game. They had the lead with Stroman on the bump in the second game in that London series, did not win it, and they've won only once since they came back. So maybe we blame England. Maybe it's England's fault.
Can we send them back? Do they want them back? The Brits, can the Brits take them back? Can they have that? I mean, it's just, so the Cubs walked nine Brewers. Are we going to still blame Wilson Contreras for that? Is this still Wilson Contreras' fault? Because that seems to be the whisper. That was the handy thing when your pitching sucked. Oh, Wilson. They don't like throwing to him. Well, guess what? This is from Miles Michaelis, former Cubs legend.
Yeah.
Right? Miles Michaelis.
Uh-huh.
Now pitching for the Cardinals. He was not whispering yesterday. He was saying this out loud. Never again. I'm never calling pitches again. Let Willie do it. So here's what happens. Michaelis was calling his own pitch in the first inning.
Pitch com, yep.
He allowed two runs, and he said, no, I'm not doing this. Turned the call over to Wilson Contreras, the guy who can't call pitches, apparently,
mm-hmm.
and he retired 16 of the next 16 batters.
That helps.
That was Miles Michaelis, and mm-hmm. that's Wilson Contreras. But the Cubs need to be, you know, let's mm-hmm. blame him still. That's a good thing. By the way, because we have to bring this up, Drew Smyly is... He's a placeholder. He just fills a slot. He's the Village People. I don't know that he would ever, if he was ever going to be a playoff starter, you'd have to expand the playoffs to 24 teams. It would have to, right? Isn't that what? That's where the Cubs would have to go. So anyways, the Cubs have Stroman going today, right? The blister's all better.
No, it's Kyle Hendricks.
Oh, Hendricks today. That's
and
right.
Wade Miley today.
Yeah. Okay. I bring up Stroman because we're talking about the greatest trade benefit, trade value, the trade chip. Stroman for the Cubs and Giolito for the Sox. Giolito's pitching today.
Mm. Giolito is pitching today, correct.
And he doesn't want to leave. Tells Darryl Von Scowen and the Sun-Times, I don't want to leave.
My initial reaction to
the
that.
White Sox suck. They're in fourth place.
Uh-huh.
The Twins have actually reached the nirvana of 500, something the White Sox are 12 games away from. And now six games and three other teams out of first place. Giolito doesn't want to leave. Giolito doesn't want to leave. He says, look, these were loyal to me. I was the worst pitcher in 2018. And he was. We have a commercial to back it up. And then he became top 11 in the Cy Young for three straight seasons. He didn't suck. And he becomes, and he's going to be a free agent. He's going to be out of a contract, right?
And he's been their best starter this year, right? I don't think that's close. He's not. He's better than Lance Lynn. Dylan Cease, I don't know what the heck's happened to him.
It's not Dylan Cease anymore.
Nope.
And Lance Lynn and Jameson Taillon. Who brings less in a trade? And let's compare and contrast. Giolito and Stroman. Who brings more in a trade?
Giolito? I would think Giolito.
He's younger.
Younger. You don't have to pay. I mean, if you're strictly a rental, if you're strictly trying to win this year's World Series, I would think Giolito would be more valuable. No knock on Stroman. He's been amazing this year, but I would think that you would want the younger Giolito.
Would the Sox trade him for a rental price?
Why not?
Giolito. Yeah, we would lose that. We would lose that. And would you, if you're Rick Hahn, and by the way, how does Rick Hahn still have a job? We'll get to that in a minute. But if you were Rick Hahn, let's say you were a capable general manager instead of Rick Hahn, and let's say you were sitting there with that guy, would you pay him the money that you know you're going to have to pay in free agency? Maybe they're talking. We don't know. There's been no indication they are, but maybe they are. If you are planning on keeping him, paying him, look, that's the prime window. He's 27 years old. And he's somewhere he's going to show up and get Cy Young votes. And would you dare trade him? Would you trade him for rental price and do the Aroldis Chapman thing like the Yankees did with him, and then we'll sign him back after the season?
They could try. Isn't he going to get a huge contract, though?
Which immediately eliminates the White Sox?
Well, the White Sox have historically not paid pitchers, right? And then you still have the fact that they're one of three teams that has never crossed the $100 million mark on a player contract.
Probably joining the Oakland A's, who don't exist,
Oakland?
And the Kansas City Royals, the only team below them in the division. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, the Cubs paid $68 million for Jameson Taillon and ruined him. How's that pitch lab thing working for Jameson Taillon? The vaunted Cubs pitch lab.
Not so great. The stat that gets me, and I was scrolling Twitter, as I am wont to do during Cubs baseball the other day.
How quaint.
The Cubs are 36-32 when Taillon does not pitch.
So we've established a pattern initially.
And they are 2-12 when he does pitch. So even in
just
the games,
to clarify, not a good thing.
Even in the games when he gets the no decision, they lose 2-12.
So his stink is all over the bullpen as well.
Your big free agent pitching signee, who was great in New York with the Yankees last year, has not done very well this year.
And your bullpen sucks too. If you're the Cubs, which is very uncharacteristic. Most bullpens do suck at some point. In the season. Actually, at several points in any season, no matter how good you are, it's rare that you get the, the Kotsen Polite kind of year, right? And they still had to go through three closers to get to Bobby Jang.
That's right.
So your bullpens always suck. It's a matter of how you can turn it over. Jed Hoyer, Theo Epstein. What has Jed Hoyer won without Theo Epstein? 312-644-6767. So those bullpens don't always suck as much as they have now. So you have a guy like Taillon, and you have a bunch of people walking, and Drew Smiley's chipping in with walks, and where are you? What are you going to do? And why does it seem worse? Why do the White Sox seem worse?
I tell you what, I was actually listening to the Bernstein and Holmes show the other day on Friday, leading into the Oakland series, and Dan was saying how he was expecting a sweep, and they had to sweep, and Lawrence is just laughing at him like, it's the Sox. Are you not watching this team?
In Oakland, too.
And then they lost the first game, and then did you happen to watch the second game Saturday of the White Sox? That was the game where Tim Anderson hit a grand slam that was initially ruled a grand slam, but then it was reviewed because it was foul, and it was foul. So they take that off the board, and they lose the game in extras.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan promised the show a steak dinner if the Sox lost the series. Steak dinner, boom. So Gene and George, I could not stop laughing. Every time I was watching, as I'm watching the Sox, in the back of my head, I'm thinking of this whole conversation that I heard on Friday afternoon. Because it was classic. It's like, have you not watched the Sox? Of course they're going to lose the series. And sure enough.
They just didn't get swept. So it only cost them Starbucks, as I understand it, not Gene and Georgetti's.
But it was so, it was just.
And if Clint Frazier doesn't track that down. By the way, Clint Frazier was sent back to.
Former Cub.
And Clint Frazier and Nick Madrigal. And now he's hurt, former Sox.
Former Sox.
You know what? He's such an idiot on the bases. It's a perfect example of you can take the player out of the Sox uniform, but you can't take the Sox out of the player. He's just dumb on the bases for the Cubs the way all Sox runners are. It's remarkable how much has and the reason to pick on Rick Hahn and the reason to wonder why he's in this job is this. He put this team together. This is his roster. These are his players. This is his manager. This is his training staff. And now you still have all these soft tissue injuries, guys who may or may not be stretching, working out the way they should. His manager has proven to be ineffective. That's to be charitable, a fraud at worst. Remember that thing? I'm 7'10". I don't know how we're going to do this year. 7'10".
Kick your butt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really? Half the time his team looks disinterested. They're still stupid on the bases. They're bad defensively. They almost to a man have no discipline. Louis Robert's the only guy with some discipline at the plate. Otherwise, forget it. And they're losing a division where they have more talent. Seemingly
they
more
are
talent.
The most talented team in that division. I don't think anyone questions that.
So why we talked about Giolito and why would you let Rick Hahn be a seller? Why would you let him trade and make this? Look what he gave you. This disaster, his judgment of a manager who's ineffective. He's an empty uniform. And the same problems exist. And they've existed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he have a chance to do this again? We know the chairman's very loyal. And we know he's given to dumb decisions. See Tony La Russa for details. Force him down. And do you realize that Rick Hahn's last choice of a manager is a guy who couldn't stop his team from cheating? A.J. Hinch was supposed to be his guy.
Now managing in Detroit. And they're slightly better than the White Sox. Well, we had Ken Rosenthal on Inside the Clubhouse. Baseball. Speaking of Bruce as Baseball Bigfoot, Ken Rosenthal, yeah, also Baseball Bigfoot. We had him on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday. And Caesar, if you can pull the cut at some point from Ken Rosenthal, I asked him about White Sox changes because in my head, exactly what you're saying, if you're going to tear this down, are you going to let the same guys rebuild it, right? And that was the thought that crossed my mind as we had Ken Rosenthal on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday. And I know Caesar's looking for the soundbite. I apologize, Caesar, for springing that on you 10 seconds ago. But here's what it sounded like.
Bruce, I kind of would endorse that if they went about it that way, even including Cease, because it hasn't worked. And last year, everyone was saying, not everyone, but people around the team, some were saying, well, La Russa is holding us back, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I thought that was reasonable. And it turns out that if La Russa was a problem, and I think it's fair to say he was, he certainly wasn't the only problem. So they've gone about it for a few years now with this group, and it hasn't clicked. So if I were them at the deadline, I think I would be aggressive. The problem.
So that was him talking about the teardown. Here is him talking about, do you let the same guys do it?
Do you see the White Sox organizationally making big moves?
Tough question, because based on performance, you would think the answer is yes. But Jerry Reinsdorf, one of his great qualities is his loyalty. And I know some people would say, well, it's not such a great quality when you're keeping people who aren't doing their jobs as well as they could be. But if you work for the guy, you'd want loyalty. So because of that, I don't know if he will make a change in the front office with Rick Hahn, Ken Williams, whoever it might be. It's difficult to say. And I will say what you said, Mike, there is accurate in my view. When they made these trades, the Sale trade, the Quintana trade, everyone thought they were getting the right guy. And they did get the right guy. But sometimes it just doesn't work. Players don't always develop the way you anticipate. All kinds of things happen, and this is why they're where they are.
Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic and Fox Sports, Fox Baseball. He was on Inside the Clubhouse with Mike Esposito, my co-host, and Bruce Levine. Bruce Levine will be here at 8 o'clock. We'll talk baseball with him. So we're questioning whether the White Sox are going to – how can you let Rick Hahn – if you determine they're sellers, how can you let the guy who created this disaster start selling it off and creating another disaster? That's what you're headed for. The Cubs, meanwhile, we asked this question for years. Can David Ross manage? We didn't know. He didn't really have much of a roster to manage. This one was supposed to be better. He managed himself into a loss yesterday, and immediately Twitter was screaming for Joe Girardi. They wanted David Ross. Bring me the head of David Ross.
Wow.
And replace it with Joe Girardi, which is never going to happen. Anyways, I want to I'm all for second guessing. I just love that. Let's pile on. However, let's take a look at David Ross's decision. Let me attempt to defend. Let's examine what he was thinking and what the Cubs were facing. And we'll do that after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in for Mully and Haw. Our phone number is 312-644-6767. That's our listener line, sponsored by Busey Bank. Busey Bank's score hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
It's the Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito 4th of July extravaganza on 670, The Score.
Really?
We have an extravaganza. Did you know that?
I had no idea. Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Russ. Cesar Perez producing this extravaganza.
Yes, sir.
We're in for Mully and Haw. Mully and Haw! I'm sorry.
Do they have an extravaganza?
Yep, they are an extravaganza. 5:30 to 10 every day, Monday through Friday. They are taking time off today. Happy 4th of July to you. And our thoughts go out. Look, I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to address this. It's a very difficult thing. Last year, I worked the 4th of July, got off the air, and got a bunch of panic texts from my daughter about Highland Park. And it was stunning. Today's the one-year anniversary of that. They will not have a parade. They will have a walk. They will commemorate the moment the shooting started. I'll remember the seven people who were assassinated. I don't know how to say it. It's really hard to say happy 4th of July under those circumstances when that's so close to. The woman I love works with the granddaughter of one of the people assassinated in that shooting. And it's just really hard to say happy 4th of July. I teared up reading the Tribune story.
Mm-hmm.
Reliving it, catching up with certain people. And one of them was Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering, who said she was, I think it was in a school, and a 6-year-old, 7-year-old came up to her and said, will we ever have a normal 4th of July? You know, what do you say?
It's tough. I was actually at the Arlington Heights Parade last year. I imagine it's very similar to the Highland Park Parade. It's very small town feel, right? You close off some of the main drags in Arlington Heights and parade with all the different organizations. It's super fun. People camp out. You throw your blankets down the night before, right? Save your spot. And we were at that, wife and I, with the kids and families and, you know, all the people that, you know, a lot of our friends that live in town there. And we started getting it on Twitter, of course, because I'm a degenerate, as we were just talking about. I'm scrolling Twitter there, you know, periodically during the parade, and you start to see what's happening in Highland Park. And after that, you go home. They canceled our Frontier Days is the festival they have in Arlington Heights, because at that point, I think they were canceling those all across the area. And you're right. It does put a, I mean, you celebrate Independence Day, certainly the 4th of July, and people having fun and everything, but the remembering what happened certainly can cast a big cloud over any 4th of July celebration.
It provides perspective,
yeah.
And that's good, and it makes it more somber, and that's probably good if it leads to introspection, if it leads to an evaluation of what our freedom is and what it becomes. That's probably good. There's nothing wrong with thinking about stuff. I just didn't know how to address it. We just did. I did not want to let it go without mentioning it. And so to my thoughts are with the people in Highland Park enduring whatever they're remembering and how they choose to remember it. And everybody else, enjoy your day off. If it serves as a chance at reflection, good. If it serves as a chance to be with your family and friends and have a good time, you deserve that too. I guarantee you deserve that too.
Yep.
Okay, so let's meet up on David Ross. No, let's not. But we're back.
Not back
Steve
to baseball.
Rosenblum.
Bam.
He's Mike Esposito. We're in for Molly and Haw. So yesterday was the day, one of the days, we keep asking the question, can David Ross manage? We don't know because he's had crappy rosters. Because of the small market Cubs have decided not to do anything. And when they trade their Cy Young guy and they just quit on their fans and they trade everybody you ever loved and rooted for and they get a handful of magic beans, and where are they? They're not acting like a big market team. So we really don't know about Ross. But some people knew yesterday when Jamai Jones came to the plate, right? Cubs had a 6-0 lead. Suddenly the Brewers are down just 6-3 and the bases are loaded and here's this guy you've never heard of,
mm-hmm.
and he steps to the plate. Bases loaded, two outs. It's Brewers pinch hitter. So originally, Craig Counsell, the manager of the Brewers, called on Jesse Winker to pinch hit. And Julian Merriweather was in the game, right-hander.
Yep.
Against left-handed hitting Jesse Winker. And then David Ross counters by going with lefty Anthony Kay, and then Counsell goes to Jones, right? That's
yep.
that's the way you play that chess game. So Jamai Jones is in such Cub fashion, such Cubness, delivers a bases-clearing triple over the head of the free agent the Cubs proudly signed for $17.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brewers tie the game. So one of the questions was, where's Mark Leiter Jr.? Why isn't this guy in the game?
He got in the game.
He got in the game and he gave up the winning run. The guy we didn't pitch to, the guy pitching ahead of him that everybody didn't want to see, is suddenly, okay, now he's giving up the tying runs. But here's the thing with Jamai Jones, do you know his story?
No. I literally, it's exactly as you said, I've never heard of him before.
Okay. You need to know his story. I have no idea what David Ross was thinking or what he knows of this, but if he knew any part of it, it influenced what he did. He was on the Brewers Sunday. That was his first day as a Brewer. You know why he was on the Brewers Sunday?
No.
Brian Anderson was on paternity leave.
Oh.
So Brian Anderson was committing parenthood, and we got to sign this guy. Jones had been and made his major league debut in 2020. He was with Baltimore, played 26 games. He missed most of 22 after undergoing Tommy John surgery. He was not a pitcher.
No, he's not. He's not.
He
a pitcher.
Still had Tommy John surgery last season. He was in Sugarland, Texas, playing for the AAA Oklahoma City Dodgers. And he had an out in his contract after Baltimore let him go. The Dodgers signed him. He got an out. And we've seen this with some players around here. You know, play me or I'm leaving. He had an opt-out. And he opted out. You're not playing me. I don't know. I don't want to be here. So the Dodgers said, yeah, you're a free agent. The Brewers said, we'll take you. Jamai Jones became, according to Optistat, the only MLB player, only, I use the word only, in modern era. So I assume that's from 1900 on.
Yes.
We're not talking the days of the 1884 Red Legs. He's the only MLB player in the modern era to hit a game-tying three-run double or triple in his first plate appearance with the team. This guy hadn't seen major league pitching for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you David Ross knew that part of it. I don't know what else he knows. But I know he knew this guy. Who is this guy? Where has he been? Well, he's bounced around. He kept getting released. Now, we've seen, and whatever he was hitting, whatever his OPS was, it was really good in AAA, but they had experience with Matt Mervis being really good in AAA and then sucking at the major league level. So as much as I like firing people at times when a manager, like, you could fire Pedro Grifol now, you wouldn't lose anything.
You do like that.
You could just leave the empty uniform there and it would manage just as well as Pedro Grifol because they still suck on the bases. They're bad defensively. They got little discipline at the plate. Really? I mean, what are you at a loss for if you lose Pedro Grifol? But I'm not firing David Ross over this. I would have done the same thing. If my guy can't get out a major league, can't get out a pinch hitter who hasn't seen major league pitching in 2 years, is coming off Tommy John surgery, then we are screwed altogether. If Mark Leiter Jr. is the only guy who can get this guy out who's coming off Tommy John surgery, then we suck and Jed Hoyer should be fired and David Ross. We have no idea if he can manage. I can't blame David Ross for this.
No, I completely agree with you. And the funny thing is that Leiter Jr. was a non-roster invitee to spring training. So they didn't.
I forgot about that.
They did not plan on him being in the bullpen this year.
He just was jinxing it. Bobby jinxing it.
He just was. The bullpen has been up and down. I mean, we've seen good Alzolay. We've seen bad. We've seen good Assad. We've seen bad. Fulmer has been good lately. Was really bad early in the season. In fact, he was responsible for a few of those blown losses early on. Anthony Kay, they just got. He was the guy who pitched to Jones yesterday. Leiter, we've talked about. Merriweather, bad, then good. Bad yesterday. Rucker, I mean, you're 100%. I've just gone down their entire bullpen. That's what they are.
Oops, babe.
Yep.
That's it. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. The Bulls made another signing.
Bulls.
We'll talk about that. Well, we'll tell you they did something, and part of it's good, it seems like. We'll run it down after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in for Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, I think, again, we're going to look at this free agency. We have a lot of free agents, and we're going to address shooting, address the lead position, and this is the time to talk about it, and we have group next week. We're going to address it, and once the free agency starts, I'm sure this information is going to come out and we'll see what we have. But there's a lot of work to do. You know, we have to get better and we're going to address that.
I love the Doors. LA woman. I don't understand the music under Arturis Carnishivus. Did I miss something, Cesar Perez? You programming master after you have us, me and Espo here in for Mully and Haw, doing an extravaganza. Did I miss something? I mean, it's great music. LA Woman is wonderful music. Just got into town about an hour
just
ago.
Just a cool sound bed, I think. But I could be wrong.
I just know that about you, actually. I do know that about you, Steve, so I'd want to play something you liked.
It's good. We're going to be talking about an LA man later on. Bulls segue there. We got the Bulls gossip is much more interesting than the Bulls' actual moves. So the Bulls' gossip is going to be better than the Bulls' news, but we're giving you the Bulls' news. While you were sleeping, or something that would make you go to sleep, the Bulls have agreed to a deal with Torrey Craig. Who's Torrey Craig? You know? Did you know?
He was one of the few reliable depth pieces for the Phoenix Suns last year, friends and neighbors.
6'7 forward, 221 pounds. He has played with Denver, Phoenix, Milwaukee, and Indiana. As you said, he played for the Suns last season, started 60 of the 79 games he played. Last season, he averaged 7.5 points per game. That's a career high.
He did shoot 40% from three.
Again, a career high. He averaged 5.4 rebounds per game, a career high. And he played 24.7 minutes per game, a career high. He's 32.
He's a guy who, and I didn't know this until today, he played overseas, got a two-way contract with Denver in 17, worked his way to a guaranteed deal in 18, and then you mentioned the stop. So he's one of those guys that didn't get drafted, played overseas, worked his way back to the league. So a success story in the NBA, but that's why he's as old as he is.
Right? And he might be a late bloomer,
yeah.
And that would be good. He is a good defender. So he fits the profile when you heard Arturis Karnišovas, or Karnišovas, how do you say it, Espo?
I believe it's Karnišovas, but I could be wrong, and I probably am wrong.
All right, you got a coin flip there. So AK had talked about changing the shot profile, but maintaining the defense that was much better the second half of the year. It was top five in the NBA. The shooting, the offense of that team was pathetic that he built. The fact that the Bulls recognized it, and more importantly, and finally did something about it besides praying that Lonzo Ball would return.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's part of what's going on here that's really aggravating. AK created this team, and he made, as it turned out, the team he put together made Lonzo Ball Michael Jordan. Nothing survives without him.
Mm-hmm.
They are a horrible team without Lonzo Ball.
They need Lonzo. They need Lonzo.
I admitted he wasn't going to be here. And then we're talking about the big three. Now, the big three is usually reserved for, I don't know, like what Miami had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They had a big three. They won titles. The Bulls' big three is a fraud. It's not, they shouldn't even be allowed to use that phrase. Because guess what?
How about the three alphas? Is that open for you? Remember that one?
No, can't use that. You can't, these are three guys that should be reduced to two. You got to trade DeRozan or LaVine. One of those guys has to go. They re-signed Vooch because because AK made such a horrible trade and he thinks it worked out well for them, which makes you immediately question his sanity and his credibility. But understand that the big three could not make a three in the last 8 minutes against Miami in the biggest game of the year. We're still waiting for Zach LaVine, $215 million, to hit a three when it matters against the Heat. DeRozan made a basket, but of course it was the customary two. And Vooch, who came here as a big man who could shoot threes, sucked shooting threes. He got worse.
Mm-hmm.
None of them could hit a three. None of the big three could hit a three. We can't call them that.
You know who could hit a three? Torrey Craig.
Well, Kobe White hit it. So now what do you
They re-signed
do?
Kobe.
Right. And they signed Javon Carter. So
yep.
I'll give them credit for this. They're finally admitting, yeah, we suck shooting threes. They haven't addressed that why Billy Donovan sucks when he has to coach the game in front of him. But at least they addressed the fact that they couldn't shoot threes in a three-point shooting league. That's a good start. And maintaining, I think it was an excellent, if these guys can play, fine, that your depth is such that you have guys who can make threes and defend. That's the mm-hmm. profile they're going for, the 3-and-D, whatever the position is. And that would be great. But as was pointed out by Elias Schuster, a writer at Bleacher Nation, he's writing about the Bulls. And I think this is where we are. This sums up at least some of my, I don't want to say confusion, but sort of the fog and the frustration
mm-hmm.
and wanting to think there's hope, but thinking it's hopeless ultimately based on what I've seen. If past is prologue, it is. Anyways, Elias Schuster had tweeted out, back when Twitter was working, two things can be true. One, Torrey Craig and Javon Carter are both smart signings that fill areas of need. Two, the Bulls have had an underwhelming offseason that appears to be doubling down on a nucleus that has limited potential. I think that's really well said.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. And that was AK's reputation, if you recall, when he came in, is that coming from Denver, they held guys, they valued continuity. Now, Denver, of course, just won the title, so
it took a while. Look, that was 7 years. Jordan took 7 years. Mario Lemieux took 7 years.
So, and I am all for that. My problem with that, with this group, is that, you know, I mean, I love DeMar DeRozan, but he's an old guy, right? He's not. Is he winning a title?
He's really good. He's a wonderful leader.
Absolutely.
He's a wonderful. As someone to look up to, he's a good locker room presence. He's really good on the floor. He's professional. He's down to earth. He's everything except he doesn't have to be old. He's got an old school game.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting twos in a 3-point league is not going to do it for you. We've seen it. As good as he is at that, as clutch as he is at that, it's a dumb way to go.
The way this Bulls team can be better depends on Zach LaVine. When he was really slow out of the gate last year, they were bad. As he improved, they improved. They worked their way into that play-in game that you were talking about, that they were leading. For all the Miami Heat stuff you're hearing, and, you know, Damian Lillard's going to go there, or there wants
culture.
To go there. Heat culture, all of the stuff we've heard about, you know, Jimmy Buckets. And listen, they played awesome in the playoffs. They obviously made a great run. But the Bulls should have beaten them in that game. They were winning that game with what was the time left in the fourth quarter, and they choked it away.
8 minutes to go in the game,
yes.
And none of the big three could hit a three. None of the Bulls' big three could hit a three. Why would you think that's going to change? If your last best information is that fits, that tracks.
A 408 texter suggests we call them the medium three.
Medium is not even medium. Dodger Boy checks in. 312-644-6767 is our...
It's our listener line, presented by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Dodger Boy, holy crap, that stuff I had last night must have been fantastic if it's Saturday already. I thought it was only Tuesday. Bring on the suckage. Yeah, well, we're talking about the Bulls and they can't hit threes. We will, and speaking of suckage, it continues. By the way, that's the Bulls news.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bulls gossip that is worth talking about. We'll do that next hour. I also have a couple games I'm gonna play with Espo, and it'll be fun. One is make believe and one is a trivia based game. So
okay.
We'll play games.
I'm excited Espo. About that.
And next hour we will begin with Baseball, Bruce, the baseball guru. Bruce Levine will be here. We'll talk about the Cubs, and I think Bruce probably could have gotten Jamai Jones out. I think he could have.
He's a
guy
got...
who hasn't faced major league pitching in 2 years, and people are screaming for David Ross's head, and they walk 9 guys. Throw strikes. You suck. It's not David Ross's fault. And guess what? You can stop blaming Wilson Contreras for that as well. We'll talk to Bruce about that. And Lucas Giolito. He doesn't want to leave.
Whoa,
he's heard,
whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa. Yeah.
Lucas, he won't have a theme song if he goes somewhere else, folks.
No, he won't. They won't be able to play the Boss Skaggs, Tickle the Ivory. We'll talk to Bruce about all that. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in for Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.